We left off last week in 1 John. I'm going to just a few review verses, but it's led me to a direction that I can't get away from, so I gotta follow the leading here. And it'll be in James, by the way, so you can get there in James, and I'll give a little quick review here, and we'll buzz up to it quick as we can here. And the key verse here was another minnow word, my fishing word that I like so much, and it's the word, and it was in John 15:11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And joy comes from when we're obedient, when we're doing right. Don't it feel better when you know you was in a situation and you did what was right? And when you did what was right, the joy that come in your heart right after that happened? You just feel good about it. I mean, or an opportunity pops up and you witnessed and you walk away just rejoicing. It's like your joy level just floods up, and that's where God, the Holy Ghost, works in our heart and life, and He does those things inside of us, and it's a wonderful thing when that happens. So that our joy might be full. And then things real quick here, that are attributes in our life. And Wednesday, my devotion and preaching was on faith, and where it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And remember, these all died in faith, having received the promise, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. And that thought there, I couldn't help but put it in the Sunday school class. One of the things they embrace is things we need to embrace to help us bear fruit in our life. And if we're not embracing the Word of God, if we're not embracing righteousness, if we're not embracing, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost today, help me do right, if we're not embracing those things, if those things are not precious to us, how are we going to bear fruit? It won't happen. So those things must be in our life that we can go forth and bear forth fruit. And then it says in James 2:17. I'll get there with you. I got you there, and I ain't even turned there yet. Hang on. We're right there. All right. James 2. And it says this, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. And in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. And works are a sign of fruit. Our actions are fruit from our life. Joy is it outpouring from the Holy Spirit inside of us. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, love. All those things are outpourings from the Holy Ghost of God, which is a fruit from our lives. So those things to be evident. And then we look here, and then this whole book of Jesus' brother, when Pastor, he preached on this, and he touched on it, and I thought, man, we hear it all the time, but we really don't park long enough to really let it soak in. Where it says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. I remember when I first got saved, I was just doing. Man, I was a doer. Man, if the ladies had a meeting, I wanted to go eat up their leftovers because they always had leftover food there and I wanted to plow into it. I'd clean up their mess just so I could get into it. But I was busy. I was busy at the church. I wanted to be there. I didn't want to be no place else. Remember though? I mean, just where God's at, I wanted to be there. Be ye doers, we're not hearing them. And I was doing so much. I was literally doing so much. I was like half-hearted here. I'm really half-hearted there because I couldn't be wholehearted in all of it because it's impossible to be wholehearted in all of it. Because I was busy so many different places and busy. I was meaning well. But at the same time, I had to really examine myself and really realize I was hurting some because I wasn't all the way in, so I was missing some things in different areas. Ended up, I was teaching junior church, had a Sunday school class, I had two nursing homes, had a jail, and I was busy. And I was so busy in so many different things. My own personal life and devotion to God, I was lacking in it. I wasn't really spending that time. I was faithful to church, never missed. I gave, I tithe, I did all the things that you're supposed to do. But I realized a lot of the times it was a lot of duty that I had ended up doing, and I was missing that, and that verse where it said, your joy shall be full. So there's some things we can do too much, and there's no joy. You ever see people doing a lot, so much for God, and they seem like they're just bitter or short-fused, and they're working for God? I mean, you say something to them, boy, and they snap, or, no, they can't do it this way. I mean, they're just short-fused all the time. I'm going, that verse don't line up, does it? Your joy shall be, that don't sound like a joyful person to me, and they're serving God at the same time. So it's things we need to be careful with. Of understanding, you know, when we're doing too much or not doing, and focus on the things that we should be doing without. Sometimes you just need help where we're just extended out too far. So, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we see here, works is a sign of our faith. It's outpouring. So there's a balancing of all this that goes all together. A balance. Ye may say that thou hast faith. I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to just read this and tie this in real quick. For by grace you saved through faith, and not yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then clear through 1 John, we see the fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So there's that constant balance that God has, and that fellowship in John, and then here in James, he's talking to be a doer. Then we're not doing right. Then we see here in Ephesians that God's before ordained them. So all these things got to work and tie in together. And it can be a bigger mess than it was before I started. So let's slow it down. Now these words here, you know, I like looking them up. And the brother of our Lord Jesus here in James, I love all that he says. Let's read together here in chapter 2, and I'll read up to these spots here. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons? For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, and there come in a poor man in vile raiment. If ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, sit thou there, or sit under my footstool. Does that sound like somebody that's showing that Christ, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness? Did Jesus have respect to persons with anyone? Did he? No, he didn't. He was one that looked at the poor and the rich, and he put them on one boat altogether. There was none different. There was none up here, not one down here. They was all on an even keel with him, and it didn't matter. It seemed like he targeted the wayward, the ones that needed it the most. It seemed like that's the ones he went after the most. Nicodemus needed help. Zacchaeus climbed up a tree just to see him. But Lord, knowing these things, and he knows you're sitting right here, and he knows the folks you're going to see tomorrow, and the people you have an opportunity to be an outreach in their lives. Let's read on. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, or become judges of evil thoughts? You know, every one of us are guilty right there. And we're supposed to be showing the good fruit in our life. But how many of us, we've talked about somebody in a negative way this week? And if it is negative, put it to positive, put a prayer with it. We need to pray. If there's something negative enough, say, oh Lord, help them, please. They need, they're missing something in their life. They're not seeing it maybe. And turn it to a good note, not just a condemnation note to where you're just condemning them. Because some folks can take it, and some people are like water on a duck, it'll run off. Some of us got skin like a rhino, you know, you ain't gonna get through, you ain't gonna find their goat, they've hit it so good, you ain't gonna get to them. But some folks are just that real thin skin, and boy, just something hit them, and it gets under their skin. It takes them months, sometimes years, and sometimes they never get over it. I know people that've been hurt and they've never got healed from it yet. And they've been carrying it for years. It's something happened 6-7 years ago and it still lingers inside them and they just can't seem to shake it off. Devil's keen reminding us of those things. So learning how to be a doer and not deceiving our own selves. So when we got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Give me some feet. What do you think that deceiving your own selves means? Lying to yourself. Boy, that's... You know, I've seen folks that say something long enough, they'll believe it themselves that it's true, and it's not even true. Sure, let it rip.
When I first got my truck, I had people tell me, I'm going to do my oil changes. They said, lift up your oil when you do things. And I said, okay. I did that. The whole time I was pouring that fuel in there, I'm thinking, my gut's telling me this is bad.
It's okay. You got what? You can believe in other people's opinions of the Bible. Instead of taking Bible literally what it says, and someone take the Word of God and they'll take it and they'll water it down a little bit. Say, oh, you can't do that nowadays. They did that in the disciples' days. You can't do that today. Is not Jesus saying yesterday, today, and forever? We limit God ourselves because we're not... We limit Him by our own personal lives. Other things distract us. Other things come in our lives that take us away from the will of God, that hinders what God really wants to do in our lives. Or sometimes we're so busy about other people's lives, we ain't got no time to figure out our own. Why am I seeing people laughing? Because it's not that us. The devil gets us, well, I'm so spiritual. Man, I've got her all together and we're looking at other folks. Boy, bless God, but Paul, my suit's better than yours. I'm more spiritual than you. You know, some folks are sincerely, they really start thinking that. And the devil's keen at that, because any way to get your mind off things that really matter. Get you on things that don't matter and that don't mount to a hill of beans. And get the things that really matter. The spiritual fight to go on. The things that we really can't see that are in here right now. Fighting against our minds. Fighting memories in our minds that's got us out of this place somewhere. There's something going on. Maybe a doctor, you know, or maybe a friend. And your mind needs to be here in this service right now. Because this is where the war for. This is where we need to get in the fight spiritually. Lord, help me. Oh, God, bless the preacher. And then that'll be your... The whole time you're sitting here, that ought to be a desire of every one of our hearts fighting that battle. And we see a service where God might just blow in here and whoo, and take the whole service over. Wouldn't that be great? Now I'm gonna tell you what them words mean here in Ephesians, where it says, "I heard that dumb horn bell." And we hear it all the time. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." But we know we're supposed to work. "You know, I'll show you my faith by my works." And then it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That word ordained, there's that word ordained. We know we're ordained to bear fruit. And here's another one for you, ordained. This means to literally to fit up in advance. So he's got it fit up in advance for every one of us. Before you got saved, God had it prepared and had the armor for you, had the sword for you, and he had the circumstances for you to get you to turn to a place where you listen to him. To where you take this literal, what the Bible says today, or just gonna just blow it off and mind goes somewhere else. But we have a choice every time we're here to grow or just stay at the same level. And I said, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving themselves." And that word deceiving literally means to misreckon, to delude, to beguile, to deceive. Who's that sound like? Satan. But it's not Satan there, is it? It's the person that's not a true doer. He's beguiling himself. Beguiling himself. Tricked by you're your worst enemy. Pointing at everybody else and "Lord, it's me, oh, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And that meek, humble spirit of Christ, that's when it comes in our life and it helps us to look at others pitifully and helps us keep ourselves humble. Where we can help others and not condemn others. And because everybody's in different places. Some people are strong here in this area, in other places they're weak. And this person here may be strong in that area and they may be weak in that area. But we're all part of the body of Christ, all pulled together, all part to do one cause. And that's what? To bring glory and honor to him. To bear fruit for the King of glory. The husbandman. Christ Jesus himself. God the Father. Deceiving themselves. And we'll get to this next week. In verse 26, it says, "If any seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart." The word deceiving and the word deceiveth here is two Greek words, actually. This word literally means to cheat. Boy, ain't that low. It means to cheat yourself. Not just liars, if you're cheating yourself. So it's interesting when you get looking here and studying, and I'm out of time. But let us be doers today. Let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us see some spiritual fruit we can get going for the Lord, that God be glorified here today. And see God do something in folks' hearts. Father, dear God, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Bless your word. Oh God, help us, please.